Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of the intersection of shamanic Reiki, spirituality, and wildlife advocacy and activism. I'm your host, Reverend Debbie Philp, and I'm here to share insights and practices to keep you feeling grounded, connected, and real as you unveil your unique gifts to the world and step forward as an inspirational leader and changemaker in service to your circle, your community, and our Earth's wild beings. I'm recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you're listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished, and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. I'm so glad you joined me for episode 115 of My Shamanic Life. And I realized that in 115 episodes, I had never really discussed what shamanism was and what shamanic Reiki is and why that is my practice. So this is the episode. And I thought I'd start by answering the question, what is a shaman anyway? The etymology of the word shaman is ultimately pretty unclear, but I most often hear it contributed to the nomadic people of Siberia. And while that word may come from that part of the world, a wisdom seer and healer has shown up in almost every indigenous culture. A shaman's job or purpose is to keep humans and nature in harmony, to hold the stories and traditions of the culture, and to provide healing to the community. How does one become a shaman? There's training, often from an elder shaman, but there is ultimately an initiation. I usually hear initiations discussed as a death and rebirth process, which may actually be a near-death experience. What happens is some experience that strips away all you believe to be true and really requires you to surrender to spirit so that your consciousness can expand. I have neither had this experience nor been trained by an indigenous elder. Therefore, I do not call myself a shaman, but instead a shamanic practitioner. The thing about contemporary neo-shamanic practices is that you don't have to be a shaman to work with them. Shamanic teachers bring practices like journeying, elemental cleansing, and cord cutting to the public. We can all benefit from these practices for healing, growth, and general well-being without the intense crisis of initiation. And I believe the growing popularity of these practices and curiosity about shamanism in general is that humanity is sorely in need of paths to harmony and well-being. When I look around, I'm frightened for us. A seemingly continuous emergence of new deadly diseases, the climate crisis, mass extinction, wars are, I believe, symptoms of how out of balance we are with the natural world. That's why I chose to teach shamanic Reiki. I had been a traditional Usui Reiki practitioner for 15 years before I discovered Lynn Roberts' trainings, and I had no desire to teach it. But something happened during my shamanic Reiki training, a series of small mystical events that I think of as my mini initiations, that woke me up to the sufferings humans inflict on the rest of nature and how truly interconnected we are. And how awakening to that interconnection heals. My exploration of shamanism led me to wildlife rehabilitation. And if you'd like to hear the story, go back to episode 108, which came out in February of 2022. Shamanic Reiki was something I not only wanted but needed to share. Each one of us who becomes aware of how out of balance with nature we are and is given practices to shift more into harmony is healing the world. It ripples out. As much as the pandemic lockdown sucked and was devastating to my physical yoga studio, which was where I taught shamanic Reiki, Zoom allowed me to reach people from all over the world with my shamanic Reiki teachings. Even as I am working on bringing back local in-person trainings, I am continuing virtually as well. If this is calling you, find the link in the show notes or visit myshamaniclife.com for more information and the fall 2022 dates for levels 1 and 2, as well as the early 2023 Master Practitioner virtual class. The basis of shamanic journeying, as we teach it in shamanic Reiki, is establishing a sacred place. It's like your base camp for your journey world, from which you can travel to other realms or simply call whoever you need in. I start every journey I lead with this. If you've joined a lunar cycle turtle journey, you'll recognize it. And it's always good to practice. Whether you've been doing this a long time or you're brand new and just want to experience what a shamanic journey is like, I invite you to allow me to guide you to your sacred place. Now, this is not work that you can do while you're driving in your car or while you're trying to do other things. So if you need to, turn this off for a while and come back when you can sit or lay down undisturbed for 15 minutes. I suggest having a piece of paper or a journal and something to write with handy, because when you come out of your journey, if you make some notes, if you record what you see, what you felt, it will help solidify that experience for you. And if you're ready to journey, you can make yourself comfortable. You might want to be sitting. Just make sure that you're well supported. You may want to recline, which is my favorite way. I usually prop myself on a bolster so that I am not all the way laying down. That helps me stay a little more present and not asleep. You might also want to lay down, and if you're doing that, make sure that you're comfortable, but again, not so comfortable that you're going to just drift off. Because the journey experience is going to take you into that space between wakefulness and sleep. And when you've got yourself all set, close your eyes and take a moment to simply scan through your body and just notice what's true in your body. If you're finding places of discomfort that you can wiggle out, go ahead and do that. Releasing any places of holding or tension so that you're relaxing and receiving the support of the earth underneath you. Begin to notice your breath. Without forcing your breath to be any particular way, just notice the way it flows in and out. And with each exhale, allow your body to relax a little bit more. Feel all the places that your body makes contact with what is supporting it. And then, knowing that your body is safe and held, in your mind's eye, begin to picture or sense or feel a place in nature that feels sacred to you. It can be a place that you have visited. Maybe there was a place that you went to as a child that just made you really happy. Maybe there's a place that you go now, where you go for solitude and to feel the sacredness. Maybe there's a place that you've only seen in pictures but feels really sacred to you. And maybe you're creating this sacred place from your own imagination. What would that feel like? What would it look like? And it doesn't have to be any particular place in nature. Some people are drawn to the woods, to the mountains, to the ocean, to a waterfall, to a cave. Whatever feels right for you. And imagine that you are there. And engage all of your senses in being there. Look around. What do you see? Objects, beings, what are the colors, the shapes of this place? What's the quality of the light? Take it all in. What do you hear? Are there sounds of running water, waves, leaves rustling in the wind? Maybe you hear small animals moving around, or their calls, birds. Open up to all that you can hear. What does it feel like? Touch. Can you feel the barks of trees? The roughness of stone? What are the temperatures of the things that you touch? What does it feel like to have sand falling through your fingers, or to sink your feet into moss? Whatever's there, notice what it's like to touch. Big inhale in your sacred place. What smells come to you? Do you smell the salt of the ocean? Do you smell composting leaves? Does the air smell fresh and clear? Remember that this is your sacred place, a place where you feel happy and safe. So everything that comes to you is of your creation as you desire it to be. So if you notice something in your sacred place that is not sitting that way with you, as you take in all these smells, notice, is there a taste in your mouth? Be fully engaged with your physical senses in this world that you are creating. Now notice, what time of day is it? Because it's your favorite time of day. What's the weather like? It's exactly as you desire it to be. And you can move around in your sacred place as much as you'd like to. When you look out beyond, what's there? Can you see to far horizons? Are you being held in a cathedral of trees? How is it for you? Notice again, what other beings are in this place? There may be birds. There may be little animals rustling in dried leaves or climbing the trees. Maybe you sense larger presences around. Remember, this is your sacred place and you are safe. Nothing here will harm you. Everything is here to be in harmony with you, to support you. This sacred place is where nature welcomes you. It's like coming home. Maybe you're near water and there are frogs or fish. Perhaps you spot a turtle or a dolphin. Who is making themselves known to you? Now really take this all in. Remember, and each time you return, you will get to know this place a little bit more. When you're holding everything that you're meant to in your awareness, feel your sacred place begin to fade away. As if mist has descended. And drop back into your physical body. Take your time. Allow your spirit to reanimate every cell of your being, from the top of your head to your fingertips to the tips of your toes. Become aware again of your breath. You're ready to return. Move your fingers and toes, your wrists and ankles, and stretch a little bit. Make any other movements that you need to bring yourself back into the present moment. And when you feel fully present, open your eyes. And this is the time to grab your journal, write down everything that you can remember. You might take some quick notes and then go back and fill in more detail. You may find that things you didn't think you saw or experience come through in the journaling. Stuff that your subconscious caught that weren't part of your conscious journey experience. Let that all come through for you. And it has been a blessing to guide you in journey. And honoring the divine light in all beings that connects us and makes us one. Namaste.